We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
First night of their American tour. Will you please welcome the Rolling Stones?
All right, welcome back. Wednesday Sports Daily for you. We appreciate Brian Haney joining us. Previous segment, talk about KU football. They're off this week, and then they go to Texas Tech. I have a little K-State football talk tomorrow, so be listening for that. Let's see what the Wildcats have for Oklahoma State. But we go to the Tad's Locker Room hotline right now, talk to Stephen Lassen, friend of the show and college football insider from AthlonSports.com. Thanks for dropping back by, Stephen. Appreciate you taking some time out of your morning. Some of the top 25 coming up this weekend. There are a handful of top 25 to take on unranked opponents, but Georgia and LSU is really the big one in the SEC. Talk about that one just a little bit, and beyond that, Stephen, what has happened the first half of the college football season that maybe is a little bit out of character that you didn't expect?
You know, I think the Georgia-LSU game this Saturday is fascinating because we're going to learn a lot about Georgia, you know, off to a 6-0 start, but they really haven't been tested. You could point to games at Missouri and at South Carolina, but Georgia has not played, I don't think it's played a complete game yet against a Power 5 team. You know, Kirby Smart is from the Nick Saban mold, so you hear after the game the small things that have added up, but Georgia has struggled at times to stop the run. Offensively, Jake Fromm has been good, but their offensive line is a little bit banged up, too. And I think looking at this matchup with LSU, the fact that it's in Baton Rouge, LSU is good at getting pressure, the defensive line, the ability to create turnovers, all of those things say to me this is going to be a close game. And I think we look back at last week when LSU played Florida, the two things that decided that game were the line of scrimmage and turnovers. And I think you're going to see that those two things will play a big role in deciding how that game shakes out. But this is kind of the start of a stretch for Georgia that we're going to figure out whether or not they're a playoff contender. I think in terms of surprises maybe that we didn't expect, you know, Kentucky is sitting there as a top 25 team. I'm surprised that Notre Dame has been as good as they have been sitting there as a playoff contender too. So, you know, we've reached that point of the season where we know a lot about these teams, but we're also getting to the point to where there are a lot of good games still to be played, and we'll find out a lot about these teams going forward.
Where's the Big 12 right now, realistically, halfway through the season? Do you look across the landscape and see anybody in that league that has a chance to get to the college football playoff? Or let me rephrase it. Who has the look, if there is one, of a team that could be in the college football playoff?
You know, I think to answer the first part of it, I think it's going to be tough for the Big 12 to get a playoff team in. I think they're going to need some chaos from the other leagues. On paper, you know, I think Clemson, Ohio State, and Alabama, and Notre Dame are probably going to run the table. I say probably because we've seen every year that we get into November and there's always an upset or two. It seems unlikely that four teams will go undefeated. But on paper, they should run the table. So I think the Big 12 is going to need some chaos in order to get into the playoffs. You know, as far as who has the best shot, I'm tempted to go with Texas just because they just beat Oklahoma, and I think they have the best balance of offense and defense. But the one thing that I keep going back to, though, is Oklahoma's offense can score 40 points every time they show up. They still have to play West Virginia. They still have to play TCU, potentially a rematch with Texas in the Big 12 championship game. And even though Oklahoma lost on Saturday and their defense played about as bad as you can get, if Oklahoma can go in there and average 9 yards a play and one or two of those turnovers go a different way, Oklahoma might win that game. So I go with Texas just because they're already ahead of Oklahoma. But at the same time, if Ruffin McNeil gets his defense to play a little bit better in a rematch with Texas, I think it's going to be tough for Texas to keep that Kyler Murray-led offense in check.
Stephen Lassen from Athlon Sports, talking Big 12, talking college football. Bruce and I, last couple of days, in trying to describe the Big 12, besides top-heavy, I think now you can say Oklahoma, West Virginia, and to some degree Texas at the top are teams to be reckoned with. But we're trying to figure out who's good among the best of the rest. The best compliment I can give the Big 12 right now is it's entertaining in that everybody seemingly can score points, but nobody outside of the top three can really be taken seriously. True or false?
I think that's true. I think that the Big 12 may not have let me back up for a second, too. I like TCU. I don't know that they're in that top three category, but I voted them in the top 25 this week at, I think, number 24. So I think TCU is kind of in that second tier right now on its own. If anything, the Big 12 has a lot of depth. I think there's potential for 9 teams to go bowling and at least 8. And I think, you look at the bottom of the league, Baylor is better, Texas Tech, maybe in the same spot as they were last year, certainly can score points, but their defense is an issue. I think Iowa State continues to get better under Matt Campbell. Iowa State might be the most fascinating team to me outside of TCU, because if Oklahoma, Texas, West Virginia, TCU are the clear top four, I like what Iowa State brings to the table. They've already got a win at Oklahoma State. Brock Purdy stepped in at quarterback last week as a freshman, looked really good. And I think they won at Oklahoma State without David Montgomery. And we know, too, that Iowa State has one of the league's better defenses. So in a league where you have to get timely stops, and with Iowa State, if Brock Purdy continues to develop, David Montgomery is healthy, I think Iowa State is right there as kind of a fringe, top 30-ish team this season, and probably a step ahead of Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Baylor, and the rest of the league.
Stephen Lassen from Athlon Sports joining us. We're talking college football. Stephen, how odd is it looking at Chip Kelly and Scott Frost and their respective starts, or whatever we're calling them, at UCLA and Nebraska? I think everybody will kind of wait for those things to come because those guys will win. But it's so odd seeing these two coaches at these two programs, both of which have, in Nebraska's case, outstanding tradition, in UCLA's case, at least solid tradition, fail so consistently. We're talking about two programs that haven't been 0-5, what, since the mid-40s, right? It's kind of weird.
It really is. I mean, going into the season, you knew that Chip Kelly and Scott Frost both had a lot of issues on the roster, and that maybe they weren't going to contend for a conference title, and they wouldn't be a top 25 team this year. But I don't think anybody predicted at this point they'd be sitting there at 0-10, combined 0-10. And I think you start to see some of these issues adding up. But both teams are starting a freshman quarterback. There's a learning curve with the transition on offense. Both teams making a switch from more of a pro style to more up-tempo, more spread. So there's a learning curve, and you add in a freshman quarterback. You add in both teams have had injuries and depth issues, especially on defense. And you're seeing that add up. I think long-term, both coaches are going to be fine. But I think in the short term, I think it's probably safe to say that the rebuilding effort for both Scott Frost and Chip Kelly is going to take a little bit longer. I thought going into the season, both UCLA and Nebraska had a chance to be, 6-6, 7-5. Next year, they would maybe make that jump to be in top 25 contention. But I think it looks like it's another year away. I just think too much transition, and I think the growth of the freshman quarterbacks for both teams will kind of dictate how fast this rebuilding effort goes.
Talking to Stephen Lassen, talking college football. You mentioned, Stephen, that you thought that Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Clemson all have a real legit shot at running the table. And if that's the case, obviously that would be an open and shut case for the CFP. If one of those teams should happen to stumble, and I think in Alabama's case it might have to happen twice for them, but if one of those four stubs their toe, gets a major injury, doesn't make it in the top four, what team do you think benefits the most?
I think probably Georgia. I think Georgia is sitting there at number, you know, depending on where you look, they're in the top three right now. I think Georgia has a pretty good shot to run the table the rest of the way and lose to Alabama in the SEC championship game and get in the playoff. You know, and of course, some of that could be how bad, if Georgia runs the table and they're sitting there at 12-0, how does the SEC championship game play out? Do they lose close? Is it a one-sided game? That could be pretty telling, because a 12-1 Georgia team that lost by a field goal to Alabama, you know, I think they would benefit a lot in that scenario. To look down the list, you know, it's tough for me to see Washington getting back in the playoff mix. I don't think they're out of it, but I think they're going to need a lot of help. And the same thing, too, for the Big 12 champion. I think the interesting thing is what happens in the Big 10, because Penn State already has a loss. Michigan still has to play Penn State and Ohio State. So to some extent, there's potential for a second Big 10 team to get in, depending on how things play out. And, of course, does Michigan play close against Ohio State, and some other chaos would need to work in order for a two-loss Michigan team to get in there. But I think Georgia would benefit the most as a one-loss team if they lose close to Alabama.
Stephen, are we at a point looking at Alabama and thinking it's them and everyone else? And I know that seems silly, because people may have said that in the past, and it's not like Alabama wins every year. But boy, I'll tell you what, even with some very good teams, and I think that Georgia's a very good squad, Clemson, obviously, Ohio State, Notre Dame, there's some really nice football teams. Doesn't Alabama look a tick above just doing the eye test from everyone else in college football?
They really do. I think it's always dangerous to, you know, give Alabama the national championship in October. But I mean, watching these other teams, I don't know that Ohio State or Clemson or Notre Dame or Georgia is in the same category. I think it's Alabama number one, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, Notre Dame in that next tier, all close together. Alabama is so fascinating to see how this program has changed over the last 3 or 4 years. You know, it used to be a very run-first offense, and now it has transitioned completely into a spread RPO-style offense. And Alabama can still run the ball. Their defense is not as good as it was last season. They've lost a lot of players to the NFL. They've had some injuries, some youth in the secondary. So the defense is more vulnerable. The problem is, I don't know who can slow down this offense, because they can hurt you on the ground. And Tua and those receivers are just hitting so many big plays that, I mean, it's tough to see anyone being able to slow down Alabama's offense. It's almost going to take one of those games where Alabama has a couple turnovers, doesn't play well in special teams. I think it would take one of those type of efforts to beat Alabama this season.
And it's probably going to have to be either LSU or Mississippi State, because you got Missouri at Tennessee, the Citadel, and maybe the Iron Bowl against Auburn. But, man, to even envision somebody staying close to Alabama has taken quite a leap here so far in the season, the first half. A couple of quick hits before we let you go, Stephen. Three big games among featuring ranked teams this Saturday, Georgia at LSU. It sounds to me like you like Georgia here, no?
I do. I like Georgia. I just think this game is going to come down to whichever team can win the battle on the offensive line and whichever team can generate just enough points in the defensive struggle. So I like Georgia.
Washington on the road going to Autzen Stadium, and a tough place to play against Oregon, number 7 against number 17.
Yeah, this rivalry was dominated by Oregon under the Chip Kelly era, and it shifted to Washington under Chris Peterson. I think it's a tough spot for Washington, but I just think they're a little bit more of a complete team, and Washington's defense gives Justin Herbert just enough trouble to win in what should be a close game. So I like the Huskies.
All right, and finally, Michigan at the Big House, taking on number 15, Wisconsin. Michigan's gained a little steam since that opening weekend loss to Notre Dame.
They really have. And you know, we talked about playoff scenarios. Michigan's standing in the playoffs going forward is really going to be defined because they've got Wisconsin, Penn State, and Michigan State coming up. I like Michigan on Saturday night. I think that, you know, their defense will be able to contain Jonathan Taylor. I think the big problem for Wisconsin defensively, this group is just not where it was last season. And I think we're starting to see Shea Patterson and this Michigan offense gain confidence and play better each week. So I like Michigan at home to beat Wisconsin.
Great stuff as always, Steven. Enjoy the weekend. Thanks so much.
You too, guys. Enjoy the games.
All right. Steven Lassen.
Thanks,
from
Steven.
AthlonSports.com. And Athlon Sports with the basically the Bible of college football previews. Yeah, that Michigan game, 8-point favorite for Michigan after opening 0-1. They've won 5 in a row. And Wisconsin 4-1 coming off a bye. 8-point favorite Michigan at the Big House. That's a night game at Michigan as well. All right, you want a free pizza? I'm your guy, 869-1240. Papa John's gives you a free large pizza if you're calling number 6. OTD, courtesy of Superior Rents, 21st and Ridge, on the other side.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.